And we're back on this Getaway Friday morning, Friday, August the 9th, 2019. 13 coming up on 14 minutes past the hour. Joined in studio by the Democratic candidate for First Ward Council here in Marion, Kai Mead. Kai, an interesting conversation. I want to focus more in on the First Ward. It's been an interesting race because the First Ward Councilman right now is Robert Landon. Robert is not running for re-election in the First Ward. He's running as the Republican candidate for auditor against Kelly Carr. And initially, when the petitions were filed, you thought you were running against one person, and then that person had some health issues, is my understanding. When did you become aware that, well, let's start here, because there are a lot of questions in this for people who live in the First Ward who are listening right now. When you found out who the original Republican candidate in the First Ward was going to be, what was your reaction?
As in the person I'm running against now?
Or the original person.
Okay. So, you know, I, with Jill, I really looked forward to that race just because I knew it was going to be a positive one, and it was going to be about issues, and we were going to, you know, we were going to disagree on some things, but I knew it was going to be about that specifically. Like, we were going to, it was just going to be knocking doors, talking about our visions for the city and where they differed and things like that. And, you know, I really just hope that everything goes well with her and she gets better as soon as possible.
When did you realize that there was an issue with Jill, that she was not going to be able to do this?
You know, it's probably about a week before it became official, before, like, the letter got sent in to the Board of Elections. You know, you start to hear about it. But at the same time, you know, you never know, like, the severity when you're hearing stuff like that, or whether or not people are just making stuff up as they go. But I really have just made a point to, no matter who my opponent is, run my race, run, talk about the issues that I want to see done, regardless of who I'm running against. You know, no matter what the, no matter who my opponent is, I want people to know what Kai Mead wants to do for the First Ward, not what Kai Mead wants to do versus Jill, or what Kai Mead wants to do versus so-and-so. The vision doesn't change.
And we're talking about Jill Lippert, if people want to know. And she is not running now because of some health issues. And certainly we do wish her well. We want her to feel better very soon. So did that change your mindset at any point, that for a period of time you didn't know who you were running against?
No, and I think the thing is, I just knew that it was going to be someone, regardless. And so I didn't want to use the time that I had to just sit on my hands. You know, that's time where you get to go knock without an opponent. And so, you know, you can, I felt like it gave me a chance to really start sandbagging, start building a lead, you know? And so I wanted to make sure that I was as efficient and as useful with my time as possible.
When you found out who the current Republican candidate is going to be, now that Jill had stepped aside, what was your reaction the day that was announced? And it was interesting, because I'll say this from a media perspective, I don't know that we would, but normally we know things like that, that a candidate has dropped out. Now, maybe we were just in the dark, but I didn't see it anywhere. The first time I saw it was when they announced the new candidate.
You know, I guess my reaction was, I was just, I was excited to just finally be running against somebody. And I just, I was just ready to go, and to just keep up with the knocking. And, you know, it's weird being in the dark when everyone else has their opponent here and there. I knew it was going to be somebody. They weren't just going to let the seat go open, but it was good for it to be concrete, because I'd heard whispers of different people's names here and there, but, you know, like I said, you just try to stay focused on what you're doing and your own thing and go from there. And even with this new opponent, you know, like I said, not much has changed.
When you are hearing whispers of people's names and then you find out who it is, were you happy? Were you relieved? Were you worried when you heard who it was finally going to be?
like I said, I was just excited, not because of who I was running against necessarily, just because it was finally somebody. You know, I was really worried because, you know, the deadline wasn't till quite a bit later, so I was worried that it was just going to get held out, and, you know, I was just going to be knocking, kind of in the dark on who I was going to be running against. And so I was glad that it came out early and that I would get a chance to just know.
Are you essentially running against somebody in what those words mean? That there has to be a difference between the two of us. There has to be a stark difference that people have to want to pull, or I guess now it's push the button for me on election day. Do you have to draw that line? Even though you can talk about the issues, you can talk about the streets, you can talk about things that need to be done in the first ward, do you have to show a difference between you and the other person?
Well, I think what it is when you do criticize someone, when you attack someone, it most of the time comes from a place of insecurity about your own ability to do the job and discuss the issues and solutions to those problems. And so when I'm talking to a voter, I want them to go into the booth and say, I liked what Kai Mead had to say. I'm going to go vote for him. Not just, you know, they both went for each other's necks the whole time, and I thought he did a little bit better, and so I'm going to go vote for him. I want someone to be excited about what their community is going to look like with me as their councilman. Not just, I don't want them to vote for me because they really don't like the other guy.
In general, whether it's an issue or however you want to answer this question, what is the biggest difference between you and your opponent?
I would say consistency. Consistency in that, you know, like I said, I've been going to council meetings for years now. Consistency in that, you know, I've tried to help the community for when the spotlight was and wasn't on, and I've been very direct about my intentions for running for council. There's nothing else going on. And so I think that goes a long way as far as, you know, when I talk about what I would like to do for the first ward, you know, it comes from a place of, well, this person really wants to better the ward. It's not just that person's running because they were pulled to or because of a title or something like that. You know, if, for instance, if this election doesn't go the way I want it, I'm still going to go volunteer wherever I can. Council should really focus on who wants to make a difference in their community for the better, and not just about like the partisan the left or the partisan right. Let's really focus on who's here for the long haul, who's done it when the spotlight wasn't on them. Let's not just look at our actions when we're running, when I'm knocking on your door trying to ask for your vote. Anybody can be a golden boy then. Let's talk about a life's work.
I believe it was announced. Was it May? Mm-hmm. It was announced who the Republican candidate was going to be. Now that Jill Lippert had stepped aside, what has shocked you the most in your race with the current Republican? Or has anything shocked you?
You know, I try to just really focus on my own race. You know, a lot of times people will just tell me, hey, so-and-so said this, and you should be mad about that. But, you know, I feel like if I just got thrown into politics and I just got thrown into running, then, yeah, I would just be super focused on everything my opponent's doing. But I'm not, and so for that reason, I'm not really surprised by it, or by much of what my opponent's doing, which I think is a good thing. I think that when you can focus on your race, when you can focus on you knocking doors, then you don't have that bad reaction. You get to be consistent with yourself and with the voters, and not just be a reactive candidate.
Has there been something, because we all know this, when something negative is said about you, whether or not you pay any attention or whether or not it affects you, somebody tells you about it. They say, hey, did you see? You know, I've had a little bit of this. What is the thing that's been said about you, because I want to go somewhere with this, what's the thing that's been said about you that's most surprised you, that was completely untrue?
So the one, I think the one that really got me, that was like, it kind of had me sitting there saying, come on, was, so if people don't know, as I'm going to school, I'm also working. I serve tables. It's how I pay the bills. It's how my fiance pays the bills. I was criticized by my opponent's treasurer heavily on Facebook, and it was thrown into different Fair Park group chats for being a server. And I, you know, people can have their opinions about jobs however they want. I like to just think that, you know, if you're working, you're making a living, you're paying the bills, and you're in good shape. But what really just made me feel goofy about it, I thought was goofy about it, was my opponent, if I understand correctly, for a good amount of time, had the exact same occupation. And so, you know, I felt like, wow, like, you know, we're really reaching for something here.
How does that make you feel? Something like that now, does it make you feel more confident? Does it make you feel like this in the next 3 months could get uglier? Well, what's the feeling when things like that come out earlier?
You know, I've had a lot of people...
Early, I guess I should say.
Well, yeah. I've had a lot of people try to tell me what to expect. A lot of people feel like this race is going to is going to end up getting negative. But I'm just going to do what I can to keep it positive. You know, I don't want to... That's not to say that I'm not going to defend myself by any means. But it's just about keeping it positive. I expect... It's August, so, you know, I think that people most of the time save their best for last, and I expect it to be contentious, but I hope that it's reasonable.
The place I was going with this was, and I don't want to say who it was, it wasn't anything to do with the first ward, and I don't want to say the name because all these people are still running, it's a current election, but there was a candidate who came on the air here, and this is live radio, and I asked them, what were some of the problems with Marion that they wanted to change? And their answer was a phony Facebook story that they believed to that moment. They were telling me the story that I knew was a phony story because we had covered the phony story. And this was somebody running for office who at that time, I said to them, I said, you know that story was not true. And the candidate said, well, thank you for letting me know. I know now. So where I'm going with that is when somebody puts something up on Facebook negative, what percentage of people do you think believe it? Because I think it's greater than we think.
You know, I think that people have set opinions on things. And if they see something that kind of just feeds into that belief process, then they're likely to believe it on both sides. You run into it a lot with Facebook. A lot of just weird stories, a lot of goofy stuff. But at the end of the day, I really think that we overblow Facebook so much, and just like we think that every little thing on Facebook here and there matters. And I think that Facebook has its place and Facebook has its uses. But I would much rather spend time knocking on doors, just talking to people, because I know that that person I talk to can actually vote for me, and two, that conversation is much more valuable than even if I'm directly speaking to that person on Facebook.
I think Democrats, even on the national level, are having this problem, because I really think in 2016, they thought Michelle Obama gave a very nice speech at the 2016 Democratic Convention. It'd be interesting if she was at the Republican Convention. The Democratic Convention, in which she said, when they go low, we go high. And Hillary Clinton took that and ran with it. And Hillary Clinton lost. Mm-hmm. And there has been some conjecture in the Democratic Party. Was that wrong? Because I now have seen Democrats who say, we were fools to do that, and when they go low, we have to go lower.
You know, I think that saying when we go when they go low, we go high is a great talking point and everything like that. But I think that once October rolls around, it becomes, I think everyone is so on edge, is so ready for an election that people do criticize each other and people are going to come at each other. And I feel like both sides, the Republicans and the Democrats, were at that point were just anything. If they found anything on their opponent, they were running with it and they wanted it to be the biggest news story in the world. And so I think that in situations like that, you have to be honest and say, like, I'm going to try to keep a positive campaign, but don't be confused by that. In that, if someone wants to be critical of, like, of my message, of my vision, then I'm going to defend that because I think that I'm the best candidate. If I was just going to roll over, then I wouldn't trust that I felt strongly about my opinions or what I felt like I could do for the city. So please don't take kindness for weakness.
We're going to take a break here, step out for 3 minutes for news and weather, come back with Kai Mead here on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Don't tune away. Lots more coming up on the other side of this very short but important timeout.
It's time for WWGH News. News about people, places, and plans. Live from the WWGH newsroom, I'm the man with a golden voice, Ted Williams.
This is Scott Spears in the WWGH News Center. Wednesday, shortly after 1 p.m., Officer Matt Krepps checked the license plate registration on a car in the area of Forest Lawn Boulevard and Toulon Avenue and found that the owner had felony warrants through Marion County Common Pleas Court and a suspended driver's license. When he activated his lights and sirens to stop the car, the driver took off at a high rate of speed northbound on Forest Lawn Boulevard. Officer Krepps discontinued the pursuit but located the vehicle abandoned nearby. Other officers went to the area to assist in the search for the suspect. With the help of several neighbors in the area, the suspect was located hiding in a yard in the area of Burgundy Drive. He was arrested without further incident. The police department would like to thank the neighbors for their assistance in locating this suspect. Arrested was Philip M. Artresia Sr., 30 years old, of Marion. He had a total of 3 warrants, all felonies. Failure to comply, which is a felony, probation violation, and driving under suspension.
For the Marion, Ohio Weather Team, I'm Zach Fuller. Cooler temperatures today. I'll have your latest forecast coming up in your Weather Minute from the Marion, Ohio News Network. Did you know on this day in 1969, a tornado hit Cincinnati, Ohio, killing 4 people and causing $15 million in property damage? The tornado moved in a southeasterly direction at 40 to 50 miles per hour. Now you know with Marion, Ohio Weather and the Marion, Ohio News Network. From the Marion, Ohio Weather Center, this is your Weather Minute on WWGH 107.1 FM in Marion and online at WWGH1071.com. Friday in the Marion area, we'll see plenty of sunshine, a high only reaching 79 degrees. Tonight, we'll stay clear, a low near 53 degrees. For your Saturday, sunshine sticks around, a high near 80 degrees. Sunday, mostly sunny, a high near 84. And Monday, mostly sunny, a high near 83. Get the latest conditions and more on our website at weather43302.com. For the Marion, Ohio News Network, I'm Zach Fuller on Marion's Talking Place, WWGH 107.1 FM in Marion, and online at WWGH1071.com.
Thank you. And we're back here at WWGH Radio, Getaway Friday, August 9th, 2019, 33 minutes past the hour, joined in studio by the Democratic candidate for First Ward City Council, Kai Mead, here for another half hour this morning. Kai, when it comes to politics, what does it take to be a good candidate? How much endurance, how much time do you have to put in?
I mean, from a candidate's perspective, I think that there's no such thing as too much time. You know, you want to put as much effort as you can. It's a long race. You can't just do it in spurts. You have to be consistent with it. You have to. You can't take anything for granted. Even the days where you know you think that I could go out with some friends or some family for something like that. You know, you have to go out and communicate your ideas. If you're going to be a good candidate, like I said, you got to treat it like you're already in. And so that means you need to treat it like a full-time job, in my opinion.
What do you make of the candidates that the Democrats have put forward this year?
I think we have a really good slate. For instance, I really like Kevin Lytle in the 3rd Ward. Tara is great. And so I think we've got a really good, really good chance. And then I think in the 6th Ward is an interesting race too. Even though she's not running as a Democrat, I think it's a very interesting race.
What do you make of the independents who are running, or at least self-defined independents at this point?
You know, I don't know a lot about Sue. I'm not gonna sit here and pretend like I know her whole story. I want to focus on my race. You know, I think that one place that candidates, especially in Marion, get into trouble is when I start criticizing one candidate here and here, when it turns out that that has nothing to do with me or my race. And so I want to focus on making sure that the voters that can vote for me, or just voters in general, can hear the ideas that I want to put forward, instead of just having like this reality TV moment where I'm sitting there bad mouthing somebody or pumping up somebody. You know, I think at the end of the day, that's not really what elections are for. There's a time and place for that, but elections aren't the place and campaigns aren't the place.
Do you think the Democratic Party is more together now than they have been?
Yeah. I think that we're very consolidated, in the sense that we have a good group of people that really have a good vision in mind for where we want to put where we want to move the city, where we want to, the things that we want to get done around here. And I think that this year, more than previous years, we're on the same page on a lot of things as far as just working together as a party. We've done a lot of things locally, from the Habitat for Humanity build that I was a part of to the little library that got put up. And I think that really an underrated aspect of doing all those things is you really become close with those people, whereas in other times in politics, you know, people are running on the same slate, people are running as the same party, but you don't really know those people as well. So, like, you might learn something, you might have a different group of people who might learn something completely new about a candidate who's on the same slate with them, whereas I feel like that's not the case this time. And to be fair, I haven't ran before for council, so, you know, maybe other times it is like that, but this time it feels like there is consistency upon messaging.
Do you think the Democrats are aware that of the issue we talked about earlier, that only one Democrat has won in 3 years in Marion County that wasn't opposed? There have been some Democrats who won that had nobody running against them, but if it's come down to a Democrat and Republican since 2016, three election cycles, one Democrat has won, and it was the sheriff, which I don't even know if people see that as a political position.
Yeah, you know, I hope they know, because I think that that says something towards how much you really do want to help. Because, like, if I guess the framing of the point is that it's an uphill battle, but I think that it's bold to sit there and say, you know, I'm going to run, I've got these ideas for how I can improve the city, how I can improve my community. And you know what? If it doesn't work out, I'm still going to be out there in the community, still trying to help where I can. You know, there's no bravery, there's no boldness in running it and just walking through an election. You know, no one ever said you put up a good fight against nobody.
Well, what was interesting, I think, for a lot of Democrats was 2016. A lot of people talked about the Trump effect, because in a presidential year, more people do turn out to vote, and maybe a lot of those people do vote down ticket. And then came last year, and people thought, well, people are going to vote against President Trump, and people are going to come back to the Democrats, and Ohio's a swing state, and so on and so forth. And in Marion County, where we live, no Democrat broke 40%. There was no improvement. Matter of fact, there was loss of ground from 2017. What do you think happened last year? And a big voter turnout.
You know, I don't know. People have, when you're running different races like that, there's so many different aspects at play, so many different storylines, unfortunately, that come into play, that it's hard to just look at one, to identify just one reason why it occurred the way it occurred. I always tell people, I'm not running against Donald Trump. There's things that we agree on, there's things that we disagree on, but, you know, I'm running to try to improve your street quality, to make Fair Park and the First Ward a safer place to live. I wouldn't, if someone wanted to get political with other positions and criticize them, that to me as a voter would be a red flag, because I think that this person just wants to be political. They don't want to actually improve my community.
For people who don't live in Fair Park right now, which is a big part of the First Ward, how do you see the area? You live there.
I love it. My fiance and I could have put our roots down anywhere. And the First Ward, Presidential Row, Fair Park, all those areas, I think there's a very good sense of community. And there's a ton of potential to improve on that. There's a lot of really good families. There's just so much just like quality human beings there that I think really drew us, and I think would draw other young couples, young families, and things like that to the area. But yeah, that's always what I try to tell people, is we decided to put our roots down in Fair Park because we know the area and we love the area, and we want to see that area grow. We want to see that area improve, and we want to see only good things for that place.
When somebody runs for office, they run and they expect what they expect and do the work that they do and take the incoming shots. What about the people around you? How are they adapting to you making this run?
I think my my fiance is kind of starting to get a little tired of me knocking doors so much, but I think she knows what she signed up for. Mm-hmm. She's handled it like amazingly, better than I could have ever expected. She's done a really good job. She's been extremely supportive. My family's been very supportive. You know, there's always anticipated pressure, anticipated stress on the people around you when you run for something, but when they can handle it and almost like better than you expected and just almost be in it with you, it's fantastic, because then you know you're doing the right thing, and you know that at the end of the day you're going to be satisfied with the results, because you know you're putting the work in. Other people around you are recognizing, other people around you want to see you succeed, and I think that though that's very important if you're going to decide to run for something.
How do they handle criticisms on the person they know?
I think they always handle it a little worse, because like they're not as into the whole they see someone criticize somebody they love, and they just want to like go after them right away, and you know, it's, you just can't do that. It's about putting your message out there. People get lost in the weeds a lot of times when it comes to attacking somebody for this, attacking somebody for that. But at the end of the day, if you can just power through and use the, have mental discipline on that kind of stuff, then I think that you'll end up with the result that you want, especially when you're just talking about, you know, the things that you can do better for the community. By nature, if someone is criticizing you or if someone is going after you, then that's like that hot, that thing that's going to draw an eye, or it might make someone go and read the article, but is it going to actually make you vote for me? Maybe not. I'm going to trust my chances at talking to actual voters.
Is there anything you won't do? What is your standard in running a race, being your first one?
I don't know. I mean, like, I'm not gonna, like, I don't know how to put into words. I would never, I guess, just be overly critical about someone or get personal with it or bring someone's family into it or anything like that. I really would just want to talk about the job that I can do and maybe contrast the differences on our ability to do that job. And that's kind of how I want to keep it focused.
How do you do that? How do you do that in a race that two people want to win?
You know, it's not a perfect... you're not going to get a perfect result. There's going to be times where you get distracted. There's going to be times where things that from even the most disciplined person is going to like make you kind of flinch the other way or like say something back to somebody. But it's really, you just have to keep that mindset of what can I do to improve the lives of the voters? What can I do to keep everything, to really give tangible results to something? It's interesting. You know, it really like spikes your interest when you see two people fighting back and forth about something political. But then November ends and it's over, and all of a sudden you realize you still have the same result you've been living with because you kind of got sucked into the infighting. When really, that's not what this is supposed to be about. This is a job interview with me and the voters.
As it comes closer and closer, do you get more nervous, excited, worried?
I wouldn't say that I get more nervous, just because you're doing the same thing, and you're nervous for election day because it's the day where everything culminates. But you really are just, if you stick to the plan, it's when things start to don't go as planned, when things get a little crazy, that's when I think nerves start to take over. But I'm confident in the method that I'm using. It's going to be a tough race, but I think that voters will really respond to positive ideas and positive results.
Do you think there's anybody in this election year, the way elections run now, who is just a shoo-in that somebody can say, well, that person doesn't have to work as hard as somebody else because it just, that race is a done deal?
Todd Schneider, Josh Daniels, and Becky Gustin.
Because sure. Because they've already...
Yeah.
There is nobody running against them.
But other than that, I can't really think... Oh, and Ayers Ratliff. They don't have an opponent. So, you know, you can never take anything for granted. I mean, there's no real reason to. I think if you are, it's just an excuse for why you're not knocking or why you're not out there talking to voters. If you do feel like you're going to win no matter what, then why not talk to voters and make sure that victory is even bigger than you thought it was going to be? Worst case scenario, you get your idea out there to more people. Worst case scenario, people understand your plan more.
You know, Ayers has run unopposed a few times in recent years. But at large, the at-large seat with Josh and Becky and the council president with Todd Schneider, I can't remember the last time those people were unopposed. What do you think happened this particular cycle?
You know, I don't know. I feel like some of the veterans we have are just, there's some really good candidates. You know, I would never want to run against Todd. That'd be a tough race. Same with Josh and Becky and Ayers. It's just, it's a tough race. And I think that sometimes politically, unfortunately, parties try to pick their battles, when really I think that if you do just run someone that's interested, you're going to have better results, because there's nothing more undemocratic than not having choice. That being said, I do like the fact that the second ward seat and the other seats are going to be for us, but like I couldn't be pro primary but be a for uncontested races.
It's interesting in Todd's case to a certain extent because he's really never had to run a race because last time, for interesting circumstances, it was a write-in candidate who he ran against.
Yeah, Todd. The thing is about Todd is Todd is like is such a great guy that I think that. I honestly think Todd would be able to convince his opponent to vote for him. Like at the end of the day, and then after they'd be thinking what just happened. Todd just lights up a room in a way that I think few candidates do, and I think that you better bring your A game if you're going to run against Todd because he's just full of energy. He's a great guy, great candidate, and so that's a tough person to run against.
Do you think? How do you think he'd do in a race? Because it's interesting, as I said, he's never really had to run one where there was somebody against him on the ballot.
Well, so sometimes you have issues with candidates that maybe they don't know what they got into, or maybe they struggle knocking as much as you'd like them to. Todd was the complete opposite. Todd was great. He knocked all the way through. So I'm pretty confident in Todd's ability up against anybody.
Do you think... that this will be another year where we all say, well, the only Democrats who won were the unopposed Democrats.
Well, I certainly hope not.
But could it happen?
I mean, anything's possible, but you know, that's the point of me running is to try to make that as far off from reality as possible.
If that does happen for the fourth time, I mean, that's a lot.
Yeah.
What is it? Does it become a lost cause then?
No.
Is there a problem?
It can never be a lost cause. Sometimes you have to go back to the drawing board on things, but you can never just give up. It's bad for democracy. It's bad for government. If one party just controls everything all the time, you don't want to see that. Because there's Democrats who don't agree with all Democrats on every issue, and there's Republicans who feel the same way. And so if you're not giving voters that choice, then are you really getting the best product out of your government?
What do you think the Republican Party in Marion County's biggest vulnerability is? Because obviously it hasn't been touched the last 3 years.
I think that the best way to go about dealing with the Republican Party in Marion is just coming as organized as possible with a campaign strategy. A lot of times, our candidates are first-time candidates, and it's the struggle is making them not get too disheartened or something like that, and being able to push them maybe into another race or something like that. Because once you get that experience of that first race, or once you've been around the block a time or two, it gets a little bit easier and you kind of know how to organize a little bit better. So the best thing that we can do is just put the work in, but make sure that we're being as efficient as possible. Because sometimes that communication is difficult to do. And I think that the Republican Party has the ability to congregate its finances and things like that a lot more efficiently.
When do you think the big push in this race is going to come for everybody? Because right now it is a little quiet.
It is. It's weird. I feel like I feel like there's the first ward race and then there's almost nothing else in Marion going on. You know, it always heats up in September and October. You want it to start earlier, but it always heats up in September and October. I would be certain that by then you'll see a lot more yard signs from everybody, a lot more literature, a lot more knocks at your door, whether that's a good thing or a bad thing. But we'll be in the full swing of things, I'm certain, by September. I've been knocking since spring, so it's not for me, but you know, I trust other candidates to run their race.
In a typical week, how much time do you put in?
So I'm knocking probably 4 days a week for on weekdays for about 2.5 hours, and then on weekends probably for 5 or 6. And so there's some streets that I hit multiple times. There's some that Like, for instance, I'll hit a street twice if only a few people answered. You know what I mean? You don't get to say, "Hey, I knocked Jefferson," because you knocked on the door, but four people answered. You know, that doesn't count. So you want to re-knock those doors a lot, I guess. It would be the answer without me having to sit down and do the math. A lot of hours. I feel like at the end of the day, the product you put out from your campaign is a good hint to how they're going to do as council. So if you put the work in there, then you should be able to expect that when they are on council, you will get someone that's active in the community and not just there for the position.
From the doors you've knocked on, which it sounds like a lot at this point, how do you feel confident-wise that you will win this race? Have more people said there's no way, or have more people said I'm definitely going to vote for you, or what's the feeling right now?
You know, I think it's a 50-50 jump ball. And, you know, from my, I guess, my political science background, those are the most interesting ones. But I've got a lot of support out there. I've got a lot of yard signs out there, but you never want to take anything for granted. Especially in August. I don't think anyone's ever been in a good position from calling a race in August. but I think it's 50-50. It's about who gets their voters out more. That's really why I just try to talk to as many people as I can. Because I think once I make that connection with a voter, we're in good shape. But it's just about talking to as many people as possible.
If you could speak to everybody in the first ward, what is the message that you would want them to hear?
I think it would be that we're gonna have a sense of community in Fair Park again. That's a little bit larger than just politics. That we're gonna build up this community together in a way that we're gonna improve our streets, and it's not just gonna be a me thing. I'm not just coming up with all the answers. It's gonna be through listening to what voters actually want, not me just spewing out a list of talking points. We're gonna improve this community from as many aspects as we can, from our streets to making sure that kids have something to do from what council can do in that aspect. We're gonna change the way that council addresses these issues and the way that we go about making these changes and making sure that the first ward gets a seat at the table on a lot of these improvements and a lot of these decisions, because in the past it hasn't always been that way. And so we need to address those issues and address things like that, because if we don't, then we're just going to be back in the same spot in 20 years. And I think that that's one of the benefits of me being young, is that there is a direct impact on what I am doing, on what my kids will have to do when we decide to have kids, that they will their parks be good? Will their streets be good? You have more skin in the game.
Being that you are young, do you have a plan, political science major, of what you want to do?
I'll tell you what I told the firefighters when I endorsed. I think that it's foolish to try to plan super far down the road. I see so many different things that we can improve on in Marion and in the first ward specifically that are going to take my effort and other council members' effort, that aren't going to just be overnight things. There's things that we can do right away, but there's things that take time as well. So if I was going to sit here and say, well, after this, I want to run for this and this and this, then you would know that I'm just being disingenuous, that I'm just running for a title or something like that. But that's not the case. I'm running because there's things that I want to improve in the first ward. I want to get those things done before we talk about anything else like that. I think that this is going to take a long time, and I plan on being here for a long time.
Could you see yourself, if you do win, only being a one-term person?
No. I think that It's just not doing the first ward justice to have to do the one term council thing. That's not saying that, you know, other people shouldn't or other people can't do that, but when I see the first ward, I see work that is going to require us rolling up our sleeves and putting the time in and treating this like a full time job, and so I don't think one term is going to cut it.
Is there anything personal, professional, that you don't, will not talk about in this campaign?
I will not bring up I have no reason to, so I don't want it to sound like I have a reason to, but I would never like bring up my opponent's family or something like that. It's just stuff like that, you know, stuff that if it doesn't sound right, if it makes you feel funny before you say it, you probably shouldn't. And that's kind of the rule I go about with it. A lot of it's common sense stuff. You don't want to, like I said, if you are attacking somebody, if you're going after somebody like that, you probably are just insecure about your ability to discuss issues and things like that. And that's really what I'm here to do, is talk about my vision, what I feel like we can do together to improve our community. And let's see if the voters agree.
Is there anything you think you could end up regretting at the end of the day?
That's really what I'm trying not to do. And that when I say I'm knocking all the time, that's what I'm going for. Is at the end of the day, I want to make sure that I put in the most effort that I could, that I did everything I could, and that whatever the results may be, that I know I did everything I could to win. And like I said, if for some reason this doesn't work out for me, you'll still see me at a Habitat build. You'll still see me volunteering on Thanksgiving and everything like that. That's just who I am. I come from a family of either were in the military or you were a firefighter or something like that. And so you get raised with a sense of community, you know, whether it be from you living on a military base to Marion, Ohio. You just want to do what's best for you have to be able to put other people first.
It's very interesting. Kai Mead, the Democratic candidate for First Ward Marion City Council this coming November. Kai, thank you for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
It's always a pleasure. And any other candidate who would ever like to come on this program, the door is always open. We shut the door to nobody. Time for anybody. I'll be back in about 15 minutes with more here on The Early Show on WWGH Radio.
Ask me to be a cartoon. That's it. It was that simple. And I just walked up to the mic and I said, that's all, folks.
Bob, you are a pleasure. You are a... But so much was made, and I don't know why. During the press conference, when hubbub was going on, you made the comment that somebody asked you if you were going to fire him, and you said he hoped he doesn't fire you. Do you wish you hadn't said that? It got so much play.